but yeah. like tweeted out so more
what,
people
I ruin your
call
intro?
It. You did ruin my intro. I had a huge first time, long time, epic rant about Ready to Roll.
Gear it up again. Gear
yeah,
it up again.
About how this fledgling one episode podcast has just been signed to a lifetime contract on both 97.5 and WIP.
We got the Gruden contract.
Yeah, 10 years, 100 million on the Philly streets. What's up? I'm Smitty. We got Rome. We got John Kelly. All three Philly area compadres at you once again for another episode of First Time, Long Time. Still in the testing phase, if you will. So you can only hear us right now if you call in. What's the number?
I thought you looked at me like I was about to have that off the top of my head. Hell no, I don't have that off the top of my head.
Yeah, when I used to do drive time, I used to like actually give out my landline number from growing up because I 646-627-8450, which is extremely counterproductive because you can't call in anyway if like, you can't hear it.
I figured we'd get the number from the callers.
Whatever.
646-627-8450. Call on in. Hit us up. Let's talk Philly.
Yeah. But the point is, the only way they can listen right now is if they call in anyway, so they have the number.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Well, you tweeted it.
Yeah. Yeah, we tweeted. Yeah. We're good. But obviously, lots of stuff going on right now. We got Eagles. We got Andrew's coming in, director. Yes, and I know how to work. Minimal technology. Jesus Christ. It's a cluster shit here already. We got Birds, first round, playoffs, underdogs at home against the Falcons. First time that has ever happened in NFL history that a sixth seed has been ruled the favorite over the one seed. And I got to tell you, I don't hate it.
You don't hate it?
I don't hate it.
I feel slapped in the face, but you're not mad about it?
They've been slapped in the face and trudged in the nuts all year round. And what have they done? What have they done? They've won.
They have.
They keep on winning. Any sort of bulletin board material would be fine. And we said on this program last week that we would rather face the Falcons than the Saints and the Panthers, which is great. I still would rather have the Falcons than the Saints right now. Falcons are kind of hot, though.
Yeah.
Then it's not just, you know, the Matty Ice, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman factor. Their offense is going to be, you know, adequate enough. They've been in the big dance last year. They could put up points if they want to, even though it's going to be sloppy, a little bit of rain, which I kind of like. Their defense is being Dan Quinn-esque right now. They only let up a little bit over 16 points over their last five total games. And that is kind of what scares me more than anything.
It's not an anonymous defense, but it's a defense that doesn't have the guy that jumps off the paper and is like, ooh, you got to watch out for him. They don't have, like, the super-duper star. There's no J.J. Watt on this defense or Ryan Lawrence on this defense or someone that's just, like, a terrifying disruptor.
I was just thinking, who's the dude that had all those sacks against Dak? What's his name? Did a monster game, and then he just went right off.
Because he would,
and
has
we
had
said
a monster
it at the time.
Career.
Yeah, we
he,
said it at the
it
time.
Was like, who is this guy? Who like, there's nobody on. But again, Dan, their coach has been to Dan Quinn's been to what three of the last four Super Bowls?
Yeah, yeah. As a Seahawks defensive coordinator, the only one he missed out on was 2 years ago. Oh yeah. No, he was there 2 years ago for the Patriots. So no, they didn't go back to back.
So he was two in a row with the Seahawks and then
missed
last
a year,
year
and then last year, correct.
So this guy knows how to whip a defense into shape, and even though they don't have that marquee player, Nick Foles is a pretty easy guy to make look pedestrian.
See, you say that, but going back to what we said before, the last two games, yes, he was shit. Last game, he's a Torrey Smith drop away from being adequate overall statistically, but even if that didn't happen, he still would have looked very, very average. Christmas night against the Raiders, he looked like shit, but so did everyone. No one wanted to be there. Absolutely no one. You're freezing your tits off on the field, in the stands. You just want to be at home with a roast by the fire. No big deal. Week before that, four touchdowns. 3 years ago, 27-2. Nick Foles is not my worry. Not my worry at all. It's the Eagles' defense stepping up to play, because even with Carson Wentz, if the Eagles' defense doesn't play at a Super Bowl level, they weren't making the Super Bowl.
To me, Nick Foles is my worry, 100%. He is the dude that I'm worried about. He is the guy who can have an amazing game and will be fine, or he can have an absolutely shitty game.
No, you're right.
And we're fucking in the shit. We are up Schitt's Creek, and we have no paddles if he doesn't have a good game. I mean, there's a chance that we could get into a 6-7 slugfest or something like that, but that's not the kind of game that I want to be in, frankly.
I wouldn't mind that because it's going to be muddy. And then, you know, the Eagles love the slop.
All right, I have
mother was a mutter.
I have a question to ask you guys about this 6 seed versus a 1 seed thing, because I saw a tweet from Chris Long earlier this week, and he said something along the lines of, do you mean to tell me that you think that we're just going to get fired up because some people are now saying we're going to lose? You think that a team that's been so inspired the entire year is going to need to get a fire lit under them just because they're an underdog? But then I saw another report that there are that there are like banners all over the Eagles locker room that they're posting
covered.
Up that the fact that they're supposed to be underdogs. So do you buy, Smitty, that the Eagles don't care about this underdog thing, or do you think that it is actually a driving factor in these players' minds?
I think that they did not need any motivation before to get ready for this, and they wouldn't have needed it because Doug Peterson, for better or worse, and it's a lot better, he gets these guys fucking ready to play every single week. They would have been motivated. But any sort of bulletin board material isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, you agreed with Lane Johnson. You agreed with Lane Johnson when he said they're treating us like the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And that is bulletin board material.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so I think sometimes it can, we always talk
about.
Well,
Lane Johnson said that.
With underdogs.
What'd he say? We were 12 and why he was boycotting the media a little bit this week. He said, well, we were 12-2. You guys are treating us like the fucking Browns.
Yeah.
Which Lane Johnson has been like a little baby back bitch for a long time now, which, you know, you're allowed to be if you're the best right tackle in the NFL and aren't injecting horse testosterone into your fucking cereal. You're absolutely fine as long as you don't get pinched. You are cool by my book, and you can fucking boycott everyone you want. But, like, he's had his issues with the media and the fans before.
I'm a Lane Johnson guy this year. I think that he has been the fulcrum of our success on the offensive line.
And Jason Kelce. And Barrett Brooks.
Yeah, they both
had... Just the whole offensive line?
Pretty much.
At least the right side of it.
Everyone besides Big V, who has been playing good. And even Steven been playing decent. I mean, they all play so well as a unit that like you just have to credit the coaching staff. And I hate doing it because I've been so wrong for years.
Keep being wrong, Smitty.
Yeah, I hope
we
I
don't
am
care.
A, see, that's the problem because like I feel so good about this game too. So
oh fuck!
Good.
Don't tell me that.
I
don't need to hear
game.
That. I don't need to hear that at all. It's supposed to be like 47 degrees in Philly. Which is balmy for this time of year, honestly, especially compared to the last couple weekends. And from Foles' perspective, I like that. I've heard of a lot of Falcons fans being like, what are you guys talking about the cold in the north for? Like, it's going to be warmer in Atlanta than it's going to be in Philly. First of all, Atlanta plays their games in a dome, so that one thing has nothing to do with the other. It's not like Atlanta has been conditioned to be playing outside just because it's going to be colder in Atlanta than Philadelphia. But 47 is like a temperature where you can't really blame it on the cold if Foles isn't having a good game.
No, but it's not comfortable, though, either. It's chilly rain. It's very chilly rain. Nobody's going to be comfortable there unless they're winning.
Especially compared to Atlanta, who normally plays in a dome and also played their last game out in Los Angeles, which is a vast difference in atmosphere as well as temperature.
Exactly. So the way these test shows work, obviously, in order to listen, you got to call in. We got a couple people listening on the line. We also have a bunch of callers. So if you want to talk about Birds, Sixers, basically anything you want, Philly style, go ahead, come through. First up, we got... Tyler, I got a question about the wide receivers. What do you got, Tyler? Taylor,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you're good. Torrey Smith, most likely on the way out. Have you seen enough from Mac Hollins to slide him into the three role going forward, or would you try to target somebody in one of those first two early rounds?
No, I have not seen enough of him, and I wish I saw more of him, put it that way.
Of Mac Hollins?
Yes. It seems like every single time he's out there, he's doing something constructive to good. Like, I think he has deserved more time to be out there, but there really hasn't been a spot to put him unless you're taking away snaps from Torrey Smith.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point. I think you take away that spot. But technically, that he's the third or the fourth option, but he would actually play that position, which is right behind Alshon. So, I mean, I don't think it matters with the fact that he'd be down the pecking order so he could develop still. He's not running slot. He's not going to be relied upon to be the number one. So I think it's a good spot for him next year.
Yeah, and I think as far as drafting a wide receiver – I mean, we have, a first-round pick next year, and we don't have a pick until the fourth or fifth round?
Yeah.
you just listen to whatever Joe Douglas says, and you abide by him, whether it be a wide receiver or a fucking kicker. It doesn't matter. Joe Douglas is making the right pick.
How about you, Taylor? Do you think you've seen enough out of Mac Hollins? He's shown a lot on special teams. You haven't seen a lot of catches, but from what we hear, he was pretty good at UNC.
Yeah, I'm obviously biased, having played with him at UNC, but – I think he's good enough, but he just needs to get the chances. I know he had that one drop against the Chargers, but besides that, he really hasn't had too many drops. He's a good run blocker.
Yeah, I mean, what about that first play in preseason for Wentz's first touchdown? He fucking boogied it over someone and went like 60 yards.
That guy from the Packers is still on the field.
Yeah,
he really might
exactly. Now I'm a big Matt Collins fan.
At UNC, I think he was averaging like something like 22 yards a catch or something.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles throws a nice deep ball. I don't know if you're going to see Matt Collins necessarily running that that fly route.
My biggest concern about Matt Collins is he was Caleb's roommate. That's my biggest concern. Like, I don't know if you can trust
that. I feel like Caleb had
or,
like seven roommates.
Yeah,
from UNC.
Well, I think that's the issue too.
Taylor, what inside info can you give us about Matt Collins from knowing him at
Taylor's toast.
Taylor's toast. Taylor's toast. All right, fair enough. Sorry, Taylor. Taylor went to UNC with Matt Collins and Caleb as well. So I didn't know if he had some inside info.
No, that was my fault. I had slippery fingers there. We'll put you on hold. Like when we want you to stop. Not necessarily stop talking about when we're on to the next caller, but I won't hang up on you. Sorry about that one, Taylor.
Yeah, it was 24 yards, by the way.
24.
Junior year.
That's a bad stat, but you know what? I was kind of on that ass.
No, what
22
do you mean?
Yards.
24.
Yeah, but I'm saying I missed it by 2 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Jack from Delco. What do you got, bud?
Hey, so I was wondering if you think that Rich Gannon is the best athlete to come out of St. Joe Prep.
Wow.
The reason why I asked, I know there's like – there's a lot of people that have come out of there, but my dad tells a story. He went to Cardinal O'Hara and he intercepted a pass off of Rich Gannon in the playoffs in God, I don't fucking know when. and he always says that, I mean, he's an old man. He's like, God, Rich Gannon's the best player to ever come out of St. Joe's Prep. I'm like, well, if you were able to intercept a pass off of young Rich Gannon, there is no way that he is as athletic as you make him out to be, because my dad is not athletic whatsoever.
The old Catholic League glory days storytelling.
Glory days.
Yes, sir.
I picked it off against Rich Gannon before he went to Delaware in 1984. Jesus Christ. I don't know. I heard that Adam Ferrone was one of the best athletes ever to come out of the prep.
And whoever your source is a bad one, because I might have been one of the worst athletes to ever cross those halls. But you know what? We won 2 Catholic League championships in tennis. So back the fuck off. You know who?
Yeah, I'm a public school boy, so I represent Ridley High School. All
day. Oh, God,
so a lax
Jesus,
a lax
boy. The worst. I'm actually locked out of my apartment at Temple University right now, so I managed to make it out of the den of. Scum and villainy, chain-smoking Newports with big hoop earrings.
The den of Delco. You'll be back at Barnaby's before you know it.
I'll tell you, well, if they even open it back up after that fire.
Oh, that's right.
But, yo, I think the answer to that question, in all honesty, I think that that guy is playing at Georgia right now, and I think it's DeAndre Swift. I think that he's going to wind up being the best guy to ever have come out of St. Joe's Prep. He is already on a lot of people's shortlist for the Heisman next year, as he'll be a sophomore, but Sony Michel and Nick Chubb are both going to be gone at Georgia, so he's going to be getting a lot more carries. They're going to be a much ballyhooed team. There's guys like Gino Toretta, who played at Miami in the early 90s as a quarterback, like Victor Hobson went to the prep and made it to the league for
Steve Quinn, 4-star recruit out of the prep, decommitted from Penn State, went to Notre Dame.
Blocked that punt against USC.
Yep, known as the worst rated player in NCAA football.
Wow, so maybe not Steve Quinn.
Well, no, NCAA football,
The game.
2007.
The video.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
That's what he's noted for.
We all had a good laugh at that time. But there were some strong athletes
the prep churns out D1 like nothing, like absolutely nothing. But I think you're absolutely right about Swift. I mean, we remember blogging him after his freshman and sophomore year highlight tapes, and they were, without question, some of the best highlight tapes I've ever seen
for sure.
At the high school
Even
level.
Saquon Barkley was just talking about who he admires among other NFL running backs, and he was talking about DeAndre Swift, and we've seen what Saquon Barkley did. He's obviously the most talented player in all of college football right now, so to be getting accolades like that, like I bet that Swift probably even visited with Barkley when he visited at Penn State. Like there's, I think DeAndre Swift is going to go down as the best St. Joe's Prep athlete.
Is it Saquon or Saquon?
Saquon?
Saquon? I have no idea. We're just going to ignore that one. Yep. The caller says, Philly fans that may be drunk. So is this another Ridley caller?
What's good, fellas? Now we're calling from State College up here. It's Silly Week. We're getting fucked up. Ready for big fucking Dick Nick on Saturday, baby.
Let's go.
Let's go. Where at State College are you at?
Birds are getting that fucking win, baby.
Were you guys in State College?
Fuck Ridley, though. Fuck Ridley, for sure. Whoever that guy was, calling.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Okay, Interboro. you got a fellow Penn Stater asking where in State College you guys at?
We're on Pew. We're on Pew Street right
Yo,
now.
Yo, I used to live on Pew and Prospect. That's what's up, bro.
We're on Pew and Fairmount, baby. Getting fucked up in the backyard.
Hell yeah, fellas. Stay warm up there. You got any questions, or what do you guys think the Eagles are going to do this weekend?
I honestly, I think that if Foles plays like he did against the Giants, there's no way we're losing.
But I agree.
I haven't seen shit the last 2 weeks, so I don't know how I feel.
And you think maybe Doug Peterson's holding back the sack a little bit? Not showing people what they want to see?
I think let him fucking rip. Let him fucking rip it.
What are you talking about?
Give some confidence behind Foles. I think we got it, man. I really do. I don't think that the Falcons can come into the fucking link, the greatest fans in fucking all of the NFL, and win that game. There's no way.
I think so, too. I think the home field advantage says a lot. Doug Peterson is what, 14-2 over the past 2 years?
Is
at
he?
Home? I think so. I think that's a correct side. Double check with me on that. But, I mean, the home field advantage says a lot. There's no chance the Eagles win. Go to the Super Bowl if they had to go on the road at any to
not
the
this
Minnesota.
Year.
And Matt Ryan usually plays like shit in Philly. So
yeah, he's 1-3 at the link.
I'll tell you what, that reffing crew worries me though. The reffing crew.
Who we got?
I think man,
it's not Pete Torelli. I know that.
It's not.
I don't know. It better not be.
I think it might be.
After that fucking Panthers game this year, where they basically Pete Torelli is shaving points for the Panthers.
It's whoever it is. The Falcons are 4-1 when this dude has ref their games. It's not the same crew.
It seems like that's every fucking official in every Philadelphia sport. It doesn't matter whether it's Pete Torelli or fucking Joe West for the Phillies. Like every official has like a positive winning percentage for the other team against Philly sports. What else we got here?
I gave it to my brother.
So you gave it to your brother, huh?
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up and say, do you think that that's an angle? Matt Ryan coming home, especially with that record, but do you think he's got some extra?
Matt Ryan had the worst acne you would ever see him on a man in high school.
Damn, get him.
Yeah.
Get him, Smitty.
Yeah, that's a little Penn Charter action.
I used to watch him at Penn Charter, yeah. I don't
Did
remember
you really?
That part.
You watched him back in the day at Penn Charter?
Yeah, my sister went to GA, so it was GA PC day.
That little bitch couldn't handle going to Easter Henderson, had to get out of Westchester.
That was a funny thing, though, because his senior year, I think they threw the ball like 9 times a game.
Yeah.
Because Singletary was so good at running back.
Yeah.
And he went on to play Virginia.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, it's a wild team.
Yeah. That's why he was Boston College recruited.
Yeah.
More than anything else. No. By all accounts, I've never met Matt Ryan personally. I'm not sure if you guys had. Apparently, he's like a really, really good dude.
I walked by him.
He just had a lot of acne in high school.
I walked by him once, but that was about it. I turned around. I was like, oh, shit, that was Matt Ryan.
So at the Exton Square Mall?
No, it was at Fox Sports. It was like in the studio. Oh. And I was like, oh, shit, that was Matt Ryan.
It's a little bit more classier than the Models, Exton Square Mall. Yeah, a question about starting nine.
I mean, probably the most historic thing.
No, nothing about starting nine. Oh, the starting nine's going on in the other room, and we just like interrupted their broadcast. Fuck you, Dallas Braden.
You know what?
Can you still hear me? Yeah. Fuck you, Carabas. Suck it.
Yeah, tell us something about fucking Darren Ruff.
Yeah, he's not on the Phils. They know we traded him.
That's why I said
Darren Ruff. Yeah, for those of you at home, we got two broadcasts going on at Barstool HQ right now, and starting nine's on the other side, and Carabas is just like looking at us, just giving us the jerk off fucking motion right now. He can give a fuck himself. What do we got here, Mikey?
Bob Vinovich is the ref that we're gonna have. Bob or Bill Vinovich.
That just sounds like a scumbag.
He's a scumbag. This guy is just dying to fuck us over. Bill Vinovich.
Mikey, you got a Flyers question. Get Jordy on here in future episodes. What do you got right now?
First of all, what's going on, boys? Team Smitty all the way for the St. Valentine's Massacre. First and foremost, want to get that out of the way.
Thanks,
oh,
bud.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Smitty is fighting
not it.
Down at the next Rough
not
and
not
Rowdy.
Yeah.
Hell
not
yeah.
Not a big deal, but I'm expecting big things from Smitty. But anyway, you know, obviously expecting like a hard-won Eagles victory. But moving over to the Flyers, you know, we kind of had a pretty rocky first half of the season a little bit, but looks like we got a little bit of life coming in the second half. What do you guys think that we're going to do moving forward in terms of offensive production and win columns?
I mean, I'll be the first to say, I mean, we need Jordy on here for that. I'm not the biggest Flyers guy. I follow them. I watch them when they're
You're
on.
You're a pretty big Flyers guy.
I am, but especially towards, like, playoff time. But, like, as far as I'm...
We're in the doldrums of the NHL.
My issue with not even an issue, but my thoughts on hockey are, I played baseball growing up. I played basketball. I played football. I know the intricacies of what's going on. I don't know that about hockey. I can't even fucking skate. It's embarrassing. So me trying to talk hockey is like a four-year-old trying to explain how to run, like, the space shuttle. So I know we need goaltending.
Goaltending's been good lately.
Yeah. It has.
Goaltending's been solid
it
lately.
It has. Elliot has been decent. But, I mean, as far as, like, the intricacies of gameplay, you tell me, Mikey, is Hextall doing better? Obviously, they're not calling for his head. Every fucking second.
So this
anymore.
Is kind. This might don't tell Big Cat and don't tell PFT. But this might be a scalding hot take. I think Ron Hextall is more of a problem than Dave Hextall is. Personally, I think it's a management, not a coaching issue. But it seems like I agree with you to an extent with goaltending being the problem. I think our backup goaltending is actually the problem because Michael Norvers. I don't know whether or not Hextall trusts Norvers enough to actually put him in, which is why, you know, Elliott's getting 14, 15 games in a row. But in terms of the five on the ice at any point in time, I think that Hextall's done a really good job with, you know, putting out the best lineup. I definitely think that we have some issues on the defensive side of the puck in returns to that guy they call Andy McDonald. He's kind of real cancer to this team. We have a lot of young guns who are either healthy or will be healthy in the very near future who probably can make a huge impact. I just think that, you know, Ron Hextall is the biggest issue in them not coming up.
Yeah, you know what you need Hextall?
That's the way I look at it.
And you know what you need to do to solve it? You put Hextall on pads and you have him start fucking slashing people.
That's the only way.
We
need someone to chase somebody around.
He could be the new backup. He could replace Neuer.
He probably could. Isn't his kid close to playing age in the NHL?
Carter Hart. You're talking about Carter Hart?
No.
He just killed it for Team Canada and juniors.
Is that Hextall's kid?
No.
We've had him in the system.
Alex Lyon is actually playing out of his mind right now in Lehigh Valley. And, like, Carter Hart is, like, I'm sure Jordy
he's
can.
He's the future.
Speak more on this than I could. But Carter Hart, Jesus God.
That's
that
a good
kid
goalie
is a
name, too.
Savage.
Great fucking name.
Carter Great Hart. Goalie.
Great.
Oh,
yeah.
Super Canadian. Sound.
That's like, that's like an all time name. That's like second probably only to Bernie Perrant.
Hey, only Jesus saves more.
That's why I don't think Hextall is on the hot seat. I mean, he has the bullets to work with. That's why it's weird to be a Flyers fan right now, because we're in the doldrums of the NHL season, but this team's been inconsistent. I don't know what they're going to do in the second half, but
They're like eighth or ninth in the Eastern
they're
Conference.
They're 19-15 now in the win-loss. I think they have eight.
And that's after a 10-game
But they're 1 point out of the wild card, so I mean.
Right, so they're right So they're right there. Do you, John, you of the three of us, you're a pretty big Flyers guy, relatively big. Do you believe that if they can sneak into the playoffs that they have the firepower to make a run, or do you think the defensemen are still too young? You think that it's
Yeah, I do think they're young. I think if they make it slide, it's still better to slide in as like an eight seed, though.
Get some playoff experience.
Yeah, and that's what – I mean, the team that did it last, of course, you know, 2010 Flyers, which was so fun when they did that. Yeah. But, and they slid in as an eight seed.
No, seven.
But they were seven?
They were seven.
Seven, right.
Shootout last day.
Yeah,
the Rangers in the start. No, but it was a 7 seed.
Oh, they jumped up. Well, either way, but they had underlying statistics that showed that they were like a great team.
Yeah,
they had real bad luck.
They also had three goalies.
They had real bad luck. They had the carousel. But if you just get in, I mean, you have a shot.
But I mean that 2010.
But this team is young.
That 2010 Flyers team is the exact example I go to. That and the 93 Phillies and the 2008 Eagles of why we are cursed, why Philadelphia is cursed. That Flyers team won on the last day on a shootout to get against the Rangers to get into the playoffs. They rolled through the first round. Eastern Conference semifinals, they're down 3-0 overall. Push it back to 3-3. Game 7, down 3-0 to the Bruins.
Right.
Come back, win Game 7, beat the Canadians, go to the finals.
I just got goosebumps thinking about it.
It's fucking destiny. It's destiny the Flyers won the cup. Losing six.
Yeah,
overtime.
But they were a great team. Obviously,
they were
they
a great team, but like, it still doesn't matter because they didn't win at all. They didn't win at all.
No,
93
I meant the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks are
Yeah, they were a gay team. I don't give a fuck. It should be destiny. Those types of things happen to other cities where everything just comes together at the right time and destiny fulfills itself.
Like,
93
yeah.
Phillies. That team will go down in fucking history as one of the most likable, lovable, greatest Philadelphia sports franchises, sports teams of all time. They still didn't fucking win at all. 2008 Eagles. Oakland has to beat like the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers last day of the season. Three other teams need to lose,
nuts.
And the fucking Eagles still need to beat the Cowboys at home. Is there an impossibility for them to get into the playoffs? They smoke the Cowboys. Everything falls in the right direction. They go into the Giants, who are 13-3. We in the best team in the NFL, are coming off a Super Bowl victory. Beat them in the fucking playoffs. Go to Arizona, fucking are down at halftime, like by three scores. Come all the way back, winning with the final drive of the game. Brian Dawkins led Eagles defense, and fucking Kurt Warner drives down and fucking sticks a dagger in the heart. That would have been an Eagles Steelers Super Bowl with Bruce Springsteen playing at halftime, and the fucking Eagles couldn't make it. It was destiny. That's why we're cursed.
Damn, man.
That would have been the greatest. My dad and Ari had tickets lined up. Bruce was
playing.
That
was some of the best like Flyers analysis I think we'll do.
it's just
a trip through Philly sports.
It is devastating. And thinking of how close that Super Bowl was, that Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl.
I think if that they had a better chance of winning it all that year, other than the 2002 year where they lost the Bucs last game of the vet, they definitely would have smoked the Raiders. If they would have beaten the Cardinals, then that would have been a great Super Bowl. I think they would have won because they were just on fire. They were on fire. They won like the last like six games of the season. Going into that, it was the year McNabb was benched at the Ravens game during the tie or whatever.
I'll tell you what, though. The last time that the Eagles...
I have issues.
No, you're fired up, bro. You believe in it.
Sweating.
Yeah, the room just got hotter from... But the last time that the Eagles made the Super Bowl, the two teams that they beat in the NFC playoffs were the Falcons and the Vikings.
Yes.
And yeah, so correct. Who do we stand to play this time? The Falcons and the Vikings. And even though we lost to the Patriots, who we might also stand to play if things really fall our way, it could be a similar slate that we're looking at. As we looked at the last time we made the Super Bowl in
04. I think I saw a stat that the Eagles in the past 2 years have beaten every single team left in the playoffs.
Yes.
I'm not sure if they beat the Saints last
no,
year.
The last time we played
the
every team.
The last time we played them, we beat them.
The last time we've played every team that's remaining in the playoffs, we beat them all.
Yes, that is correct. We beat the Patriots of at Foxborough. I mean, it's all pretty recent. It's all pretty recent history.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time we actually played the Saints, though. Must have been a while ago.
But I guess we beat them.
We beat them. We definitely beat them. We smoked the Falcons. There's another thing that gives me confidence going to this game. The Eagles obviously weren't the team they are or were last year that they are this year. But the Falcons were a lot better last year. They made
a lot better. And their offense was a lot more of a juggernaut last year.
And the Eagles whooped on the Falcons.
Yeah, what was it, 24-15?
Oh, I think it was more than that. I thought it was like 38-20 or something.
Was it? I know that the Eagles pretty much took care of business, and in a season where they didn't really play that well, and that was the reason I kind of wrote the Falcons off in last year's playoff. Yep. It was like, we beat these guys already.
Exactly.
The fuck do you mean they're about to beat the Patriots or beat any of the teams that they wound up beating last year? So, I mean, hopefully, I don't know. The Falcons' offense is not as good. Devontae Freeman is not having as good of a year as he did last year, but their running back by committee is still a dangerous twosome.
Yeah, and Julio Jones's dick still hangs low,
yeah.
Lower than anything else.
Because even last year when we beat them, Julio Jones had a bad game, and he went for 10 and 130.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. You said it off the top, though. You were like, they're coming in kind of hot. They're not, you know... I don't know how you talked yourself into like.
No, I would say they're
being confident about Foles. On another note, but
I'm not worried about Big Dick Nick. I'm not worried about him. He's been there before. He's done it. He's proven himself. I think he will be able to come through hot. I'm more worried.
But they've
about
had trouble getting Julio the ball. That's for sure.
Okay,
they've had trouble getting him.
Shut him down. Double team him.
Yeah.
Fucking get a sniper in the bell tower and just like BB gun him. Don't take out his complete leg.
Do you guys think that Sidney Jones should be playing in this game? Rasul Douglas should be getting that start?
I was just thinking that, and I think that is an unfair thing to do to Sidney Jones.
To put him in that kind of situation.
Yeah, he was out there during the Dallas game, his first NFL game, 10 months after an Achilles
yeah.
rupture, and he didn't do anything like overly bad. He didn't do anything.
Oh, I think running around was a great sign. Like, yeah, just to run around in that game and then get out.
But I mean, this Eagles secondary has exceeded expectations from the game. This secondary was supposed to be dog shit.
Yeah,
like the worst secondary in the history of secondaries, especially the corners. And they've not only proven themselves, but have played at a very high level, especially Douglas and Mills.
And so, I think that
even
if either two of those guys, Rasul Douglas or Sidney Jones, they're not going to be playing. They're not going to be getting the majority of the snaps. Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills are going to be your outside corners.
Yes,
and you're gonna. Everything is already spoken for.
I would not play Sidney Jones.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't even attempt to.
And Rasul Douglas is a bigger cornerback. He's not as fast, but he's kind of more equipped to handle a big guy like that if it came down to it. But I mean, again, you're not going to have you already have everybody slotted in to where they're going to be playing at cornerback.
Exactly. Let's keep up, John Kelly.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say a little stat check. So we crushed the Falcons last year, 24-15.
Damn,
that was right by you, huh? That was all the numbers. I thought it was like 38-20 or something like that.
Ryan Matthews had 2 touchdowns.
Okay, they crushed him, but
went through for
no, but it was a convincing 24-15 for sure.
I remember
because
like
we were dogs and we won by 9.
Yeah, I don't think they trailed that game.
Right, for sure.
Yeah,
which was an anomaly. Because it was the bulk of the season and a lot of the problems that we saw last year.
Yeah, we lost 5 straight.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, we're better than the Falcons.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah. Nope.
Let's do it. Oh, guys, I still remember how I started off 3-0 and fucking.
I thought we were never going to lose a game again.
Yeah, it was just like, Jesus Christ. And that's when I had to like come out and say like I was wrong about everything. And then they lose the next 3. It's like, okay, I'm still wrong about it.
Yeah, they just the universe just wants you to be wrong, Smitty.
Pretty much.
So I need you to fucking not be confident in this game.
Yeah, I know. I am kind of worried about that, how confident I am in Nick Foles in this game. But let's switch gears right now. Talk a little Sixers chat. We got big game tomorrow across the pond, if you will.
Yeah, we're going to be
Sixers and Celtics. Now, who's the home team here? Do we lose a game?
I don't know. I think we might lose a game. I think that might be a Sixers home game.
I think they'd like Jacksonville us. They castrate our season over.
That's fucked. I mean, I guess it makes less of an impact in basketball than it would in football because in football you lose that crazy amount of revenue of one game.
Why are they doing this? Are they just over there for one game and fucking coming back?
Yeah.
It's wild.
They're not playing for like 10 days. I think the Celtics are on the same type of schedule. They're just going over to as ambassadors of the game to try and get some young British kids fired up about fucking
so some Don Amici wannabes over there, gay or not gay, whatever they want to do.
Whoever one of you guys want to come over.
Is there any other white or is there any other English basketball players?
I don't think that there are. Honestly,
it's just Don Amici and that's it.
And fucking Jay Ajayi wasn't he? He was like raised in England for a little bit or something like that.
No idea.
Yeah,
no
Jay Ajayi of the Eagles, but
Rick Smits
London,
was
United Kingdom.
Was he?
Wow, yeah. Rick Smits was Holland, correct?
Was he really?
I believe so.
Who?
Rick Smits.
That's deep. I didn't even realize that.
It will be
a test, and I think that I'm pretty sure we won't see Markelle Fultz playing.
Netherlands.
So the Netherlands. You're right there. Holland is the Netherlands. It's the same thing.
Is
you
it?
Said Holland, right?
No.
Knew it.
I thought you said
knew it.
Nailed it. But Markelle Fultz isn't going to be playing, and the Sixers are going to be going against the Celtics, who obviously have Jason Tatum, and obviously we traded the pick that became Jason Tatum for Markelle Fultz and another draft pick. So that trade does not look really good right now, especially how Jason Tatum is putting up numbers, especially how well the Celtics are playing, compounded with the fact that Markelle Fultz is not playing any basketball for our 76ers.
Yeah, on the Celtics real quick, it's kind of scary how they're, 30-10-ish, like around that record, where they're like superstar signing going down in the first 5 minutes.
Played a lick of basketball.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward fucking.
That's a little bit
shit.
Terrifying that Danny Ainge has been right about, like, I mean, he hasn't been right about everybody, but he's damn close to like, he kind of bamboozled the Sixers in that trade. It's looking like right now.
It's still early. Hopefully Fultz has got his quote-unquote shoulder issues figured out, and I say quote-unquote because it's the fucking yips. It's nothing to do with his shoulder. But
fair enough.
That might even be worse in the long run if that's the case. But he is a 19-year-old kid.
And there
hopefully
were
give him the benefit of the doubt.
There was some video of him this past week shooting a basketball.
Yes.
Which is a crucial tenet for any basketball player.
Exactly.
But, like, what kind of numbers would be, like, if Markelle Fultz comes out and averages 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists for the rest of the season, is that good enough? Do you need him to be averaging 16 points and like 5 rebounds, 5 assists?
It hurts because A, Tatum is playing so well.
Right.
And it also hurts that he's the number one overall pick. And he did have a fucking boss summer in the summer league before he like did a 360 with his ankle.
Right.
So hopefully you see him come back. If they have to sit him out the whole year, like every other Sixers rookie in the past 5 years, that's fine by me.
You're all right with it?
Yeah, I'm fine with it because they're playing. They're not sound like they're struggling right now. They're competitive. They're in there. I just don't want to do anything that would be detrimental to his long-term mind.
Yeah. He was just the perfect fit, too. Like, you saw what you had in Simmons. You saw what you had in Embiid. And the rest of the team was kind of built for Markelle Fultz to be, like, the guy who can play off-ball with Simmons and also can run the second unit if you need a point guard. It seemed like it made so much sense.
And it still does make sense. It's just a shame that for a number one overall pick, he could still be a good fit and player. But I don't see him being like a superstar.
You don't see it?
No.
I mean, it takes longer.
Even just like the way he plays, like driving, like the spin move and fucking all that. Like I don't see him with his body type. Like you do that, you got to put up fucking 30 a night.
Yeah, he would have to become an elite finisher. Like he would have to be the guy that can get to the bucket and like just spins the ball fucking ridiculously, and it's bouncing off the shot clock and going in every time.
Exactly.
Which he did do at Washington. He did that during the Southern League too.
But I mean, he's got no real jump shot from outside of 10 feet, which is a scary characteristic to have for a Sixers player along with Ben Simmons. And he can't shoot free throws. Like, he just can't. I mean, his free throw shot at the beginning of the season looked syphilitic.
Yeah.
And now it looks a little better. Now he's just like suffering from some curable bacteria, which I guess is still.
But it's still bacteria.
Yeah, but it's still like something's still messed up in there.
Yeah, it's tough.
But it's all saved because what is your groundbreaking LeBron James rumor?
Wow, man, I do have a LeBron James rumor that I read today. Nick Wright was talking about he was talking with someone from LeBron's camp. And he was going through the places where LeBron James could wind up landing. And number one, he said the Houston Rockets. He said that there's like, I'm not even sure if he said this, but there's some way that if the Rockets get rid of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson's contracts, that they would be able to sign LeBron James and then sign Chris Paul to an extension. So they would have LeBron James, Chris Paul, and James Harden all
on
the same squad.
Which is a scary thought.
Scary thought. That's a team that could legitimately challenge Golden State.
Yeah.
And I guess the Celtics now, if that's what the fuck we're doing. But the number two team was re-signing with the Cavs. The number three team was the Lakers. But they said that there is a non-zero chance, so it is still within the realm of possibility, a fringe chance that the number four team was your Philadelphia 76ers.
There you go. Line up the parade down Broad
That's
Street,
right.
baby.
That's right. We're in fourth place at a 1% chance. Let's fucking march.
Hey, him and Ben Simmons are boys, as you can see through like their Instagram happy crap. I don't see how the Lakers would be more of an appetizing draw with team-wise to LeBron.
What, than the Sixers?
Yeah. You think so?
Team-wise?
No.
I'm not saying Showtime-wise. Showtime-Hollywood-wise.
No, that's what I don't get.
Team-wise.
Everybody keeps talking about the Lakers as if they are developing anything.
And LeBron has a house in California.
Oh, no, I get that.
On Instagram, he calls it all home. But, like, he
I meant team fit.
Yeah, and team like, fit. On the court.
Yeah.
Like,
on the court, what do they have to entice LeBron to go?
LeBron would be the perfect fit for the Sixers.
Yeah,
right now. Yeah, Ben Simmons dishing it off.
I have a hot take though. I hate these rumors.
Why?
Why? Because I don't want him. That's the hot take.
You don't want LeBron James?
No. Wow. I want Simmons to become the next superstar in the NBA.
Right.
And Embiid.
Right.
And that's our team, baby. And we don't have.
But do you
our legacy so overlapped with LeBron?
But like, you understand.
Not that we've had a rivalry with LeBron at all. It just.
But do you understand that bringing in LeBron just exacerbates like that legacy if it ever happens?
Yeah.
Like Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid could get to that point.
You mean the three of them? They have their new big three.
Well, no, but like Embiid and Simmons might fully mature 5 years from now with LeBron what, next year or 2 years? Like, they can win a championship 3 years.
Yeah, oh, that would accelerate the timeline to immediate. But.
Exactly, and LeBron's only got, what, five caliber MVP level years left, probably?
I mean, we don't know that because of the way he's been playing. He might play for fucking ever. He might be Tom Brady type shit. But here's another, I kind of see what you're saying, John.
It's more emotional than it is logical.
And if we're doing the, it's also fit because a guy like Simmons really does need the ball in his hands a lot to be a successful player. Same with Embiid. And so I put up a Twitter poll a couple months ago, and a lot of people said I was crazy for it, but I asked people, would they rather have LeBron James on this Sixers team or Klay Thompson on this Sixers team? And people said I was nuts, but the poll was about 50-50. And a lot of people were saying that they would, and the reasoning is that Klay Thompson doesn't need the ball in his hands a lot. He offers you spacing. He offers you defense, and his shooting is incredible.
He's the ultimate Swiss Army knife. He can slide into any team and be that guy. So I think that was a tricky question.
Right, but it is, him. I mean, he is someone who could wind up on the free agent market.
Oh, yeah.
And he is someone who, I mean, he fits into what the Sixers are doing and looking for right now, whereas if the Sixers
sign
LeBron
James. Yeah, and he
doesn't
have to
be
LeBron. He doesn't have the personality. He doesn't have to be the guy. So, and obviously, if you sign LeBron, you got, like, all your, not that I'm, like, emotionally attached to Saric, but, like, you know, if we had to get rid of him or bring in LeBron, okay, like, I'll do that, but.
I mean, Dario's
you know,
been a
all
champ.
Those, your rest of your bench becomes, you know, pickles, to be honest. I mean, you have, like, your guy,
don't
you have
you
your big three.
Dare call T.J. McConnell a pickle.
I don't know if we'd be able to keep him, honestly. As soon as he gets to his next level, we can't pay that for, you know, backup point guard. We have to strip it all.
I like T.J. McConnell. Yeah. I like him a lot. All right, rounding out on the show here, we got one more caller on the line. Trevor, got a quick Eagles question. What do you got, Trevor?
By the way, it is a Sixers home game.
Damn it.
What up, Smitty? And first-time caller, long-time listener.
Love it.
Would you, since LeGarrette Blount like did really well in the short yardage system, especially with the New England last year, do you think they should probably do that, put him in the red zone more and let Corey Clement and like Jay Ajayi run the ball more on like first and second down so we can use LeGarrette at goal line, especially since he hasn't had a good run since week four. So he's been breaking down the whole time.
Yeah,
so
I wouldn't say breaking down, but I can't remember in recent games or history of them actually having like a fourth and inches where they put Blount in there and like
at the goal line.
Pounded him. Yeah, not at the goal line.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think it's patently false to say he hasn't had a good run. In,
yeah,
in
that was a little exaggerated. Yeah.
But second of all,
I don't think he's breaking down either.
Charger game. It was a Charger game. So,
but he like a good run for him is it like a 20-yard
like
run? Like a good run for him is a run where he puts his helmet into a defensive tackle's chest and hurts them so they don't want to tackle the next dude. Like I think a good run is on a different level of of what you expect. But I also think that this year Corey Clement has done a pretty good job as a goal line back, and I think his touchdown totals speak to that. He's not your traditional like 250-pound goal line guy, but he sneaks into the end zone. He's slippery and he always is going forward.
Exactly. He's the most. He's arguably been the most versatile running back in the backfield since Darren Sproles went down. And you're right. His team leading touchdown rushes exemplifies that.
You can be at the game Saturday.
Not looking good right now. I'm definite for the NFC Championship, but. You know, rough and rowdy stuff, a lot of things going on up here. I might have to stick home base, which is, God damn, I can't believe
Keep
I said
home. All day.
I can't believe I said home base is fucking New York City. Jesus Christ, I hate that.
Hey, I'm saying home my base God. Is Columbus. I'm already from Jersey, so.
What do you got? You got a prediction
that,
for the game?
I appreciate that.
I would like a win because I'm going to go there in person for my first Eagles playoff game. I've seen them all on TV. It's the Giants, the Bucks trilogy, the Packers, so I'm hoping for a W because – I went to D.C., I've been to Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati past year, been to D.C. this year, did the Giants game, did the Niner game, did the Raider game. I just want a W to keep the streak going.
Let's go, baby.
Especially for this year.
Let's go.
Fucking go.
Yeah. All right. Hell yeah. Have fun there. We'll see you at the NFC Championship game. But, yeah, that's your roundup. First time, long time.
Hey, let's hit a prediction real quick because we're going into it.
For Eagles? Yeah. Updated prediction, right?
Let's hit an Eagles prediction, Eagles-Falcons. Like, let's just see what the fuck we think is going to happen, put our balls on the line, and let's call scores.
First of all, did you know that the Eagles are one playoff game away from holding the NFL playoff record for the team?
Don't say most losses.
No, the longest streak without scoring 30 points in a game. It's like at 16 playoff games right now.
That we haven't scored or
have not scored 30 points in the playoffs.
So
it's like 16 and
you're
it happened.
Saying
like,
that we're about to
wait. I'm not saying
we didn't score 30. How long was it?
Saying 16 games since like 2000 bucks was the last game we scored.
I was gonna say what that Arizona game points. Must have been 28, right?
Yeah. A lot of 20s. Even the Super Bowl was 21.
Yeah.
But just throwing that out there. All right, predictions. Go.
Well, go ahead. Because I'm interested because you have all this Foles confidence. I don't know where that came from. But your prediction last week was
Well, I'm saying they score over 30. I'm saying
Birds score over 40.
So this is an update.
30. I'm saying it's going to be a high scoring affair even in the muck.
Wow. Really?
I'm saying 32-27.
Okay.
Really? Birds.
Birds.
Woo!
Money
Schmitty!
Line. Hammer that money.
Jeez.
There's something like 77% of the public on the fucking Falcons. That's outrageous.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
That, but,
I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to be boring. I'm going to go 2016. I think I said the same thing last week. I don't see the Eagles pulling this one out, though.
You see,
I think Falcons 20-16.
Covering, huh?
Pragmatic. Yeah. That's pragmatic. I'm going to go 24-21. Birds. Let's love fucking
it.
Go. Let's do this thing. I want fucking Minnesota in Philly.
Okay. I don't know if your eyes this, Mr. Adam Ferrone, but I got corrected by this. And since you're a son of an astrophysics professor, I guess I have to correct you too. Both teams are birds.
Wow. Fuck. I can't say let's go birds.
I got called on that today.
Damn,
I was like, I guess you're right.
Yeah, but they don't call the Falcons birds.
I think they do down there. Dirty Bird, Jamal Anderson. Like,
nah, they retired that shit.
They say rise up, which sucks. What the fuck does rise up mean?
The whole organization.
Yeah, yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know what? Fuck that. Fuck Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
Fuck Matt Ryan.
Fuck
Chris
dog,
Chandler.
Dog killing Michael Vick before
fuck,
he got
fuck
like resurrected.
Fuck Algie Crumpler. Fuck Tim Dwight. Fuck all these fucking
schmucks. Brian Finneran. That
fuck
Villanova.
Brian Finneran. That Villanova. Fuck. Fuck Jesse Tuggle.
Mark Simoneau before you came over. Sean Witherspoon.
Fuck all these bastards. We don't want any part of you fucking Atlanta bums. Come on into Philly and get a taste of it. Go Birds. We don't even recognize you as real birds.
Tim, that's the first time I thought of Tim Dwight in 10 years. Tim Dwight.
Beautiful.
What a great punt
returner. I was
thinking
about Tim Dwight, like, when I was thinking about white corners. I was trying to think of something.
Oh, yeah, I think he's wide receiver.
He popped into my head. I was like, no.
Tim Dwight. Good job, Lewis.
Yeah, no. That's good. That's fun. I like doing thank you very much. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut into